Wednesday, right? Men, are you prepared? Women, are you prepared? Well, that's all right. We're going to talk about that. So love, what is it? Is it the butterfly feelings you get when you look at someone? Go back to when you were teenagers and you're in your school or you know, maybe you were at home, you had the boy or the girl next door and you see them and they're coming at you. And you know, in the movies, whenever someone, they're in love and they see their person and all of a sudden the movie starts going slow and they're slow motion because the person is smitten by them, right? I mean, that's love, isn't it? The fluttering in your heart, the butterflies. That's love, right? Or, okay, maybe not. So what about when you meet the one? You know, that one, you know, we always talk about it growing up, you know, when I meet the one, until you find that one that you want to spend the rest of your life with, you want to have a marriage, a home, maybe some kids, and you never want to go a day without them and be able to look at them every day. But what happens after 5 years, after 10 years, after 50 years of marriage? What usually happens? Butterflies and the fluttering of your heart that you had previously and the slow motion that you had whenever they're walking towards you, it tends to disappear, right? And that's a bad thing because you should always be smitten by your spouse every day. I hated Valentine's Day when I was single. And everybody said, oh, it's because you're single and you don't have anyone is the reason that you hate Valentine's Day. Well, I've been married for 5.5 years and I still hate Valentine's Day. We don't even celebrate Valentine's Day. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't need a day to tell me that I need to love my husband. I don't need a day to tell me that I need to love on my children. I don't need a day to tell me to go out and buy a gift for my husband who can go out and buy whatever he wants anyways. He doesn't need a day to tell him to go out and buy me some kind of necklace that I probably would just hang on my necklace thing anyways in the room and wear maybe once a quarter. I love when he's out and about and he comes home with flowers in his hand because he saw them and he just thought I needed them. Or he goes to a store and he sees some kind of chocolate because, you know, women, we love chocolate, right? And so, you know, he sees something and he comes home with it in his hand. He says, here, I thought about you. Or he tells me, he says, hey, you know what? I think you and I, we need to go out to dinner. Or we need to go for a bike ride because we need to have time together. It's not February 14th. The day that we need to just celebrate our marriage and our love. It's every day, isn't it?
Amen.
Every day we do that. So you see, no matter what, till I take my last breath on this earth, I will always hate Valentine's Day. Because to me, every day should be Valentine's Day. The way that we should love our spouses. It's the way that God commands it, right? But see, our love sometimes is contingent on our feelings, right? If we're having a bad day, who do we take it out on usually? Our spouse, right? Usually we take it out on them because we come home and we're grouchy and we're mean, and so they're just the downfall. They're the ones that take our beating because that's just the way it is. So, and then if you're fighting with each other, you're not usually going to go and end up cuddling on the couch at the end of the night, are you? And they just might not get that kiss at the end of the night goodnight, right? Because you're just angry with them, right? So you're just... I don't want to even talk to you. Don't even look at me. Can you tell that happens sometimes in our house? I do love him. But you see, love sometimes is contingent on our feelings. Well, I don't feel like loving them today. They really made me angry. But isn't it great that this morning, that the love of God is not like this? Love of God is not contingent on how he feels about you. Because look, there are days that I'm sure you make him pretty angry. Days you mess up and you do things or say things or act in the way you shouldn't, and God's like, really, child? His love never stops for you. He still loves you no matter what. You know what? I believe, because, you know, again, you know me, I like to imagine stuff. So I imagine that even though I make God angry, that when he looks at me and he sees me, that his heart still flutters and he still gets a smile on his face because of the love that he has. After 33 years on this earth, he still loves me today the same as he did when he created me. His love is never changing. It's always there. It's the same. Do you believe that this morning? He's in his 80s. And God still loves him the same as today as he did the day he created him. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what you've done on this earth. He still loves you the same. You see, when you think about your children, your love for them is really strong, isn't it? I mean, you would do anything for your children. When Ryder had his surgery here last month, and I watched him suffer, I wept when he wept because he was in so much pain, and I just wanted to take the pain away from him. I mean, he recovered pretty quickly. But, you know, still, when he was coming out of the anesthesia, and he was bawling, and he was confused, and all of this was going on, all I wanted to do was just take that pain right at that moment and put it on myself, right? So if I want to do that for my child, what does God want to do for you today? You see, and then we're going to get into our scriptures here in just a moment, but you see, then he did do that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Take all of your suffering, to take all of your pain, to take all of your burdens and all of your sins, and he put them on himself so that you wouldn't have to have them. Love. That's not a feeling type of love. That's not a flutter in your heart and butterflies in your stomach. That is agape, hardcore love for you. That's unconditional. And it is holy and perfect love. And that's what God... We're going to look at 1 John 4, 7 through 10. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You see, that's not a flutter in his heart. That's not butterflies in his stomach. That's love. That he would send his Son, even though he knew that you and I and the rest of the world would possibly reject him, he still sent his Son for us. See, but at times, we fling away from God in fits of rebellion. And when we run from him, we think he's gone. And we're like, yeah, we got rid of him. And now I can go over here and I can live how I want to live and do what I want to do because God is gone. And then you feel this tap on your shoulder and you turn around and God says, "I'm still here and I still love you, even though you're over there doing what you're not supposed to." Isn't it great that even though you mess up, even though you're over here and you're so far away from God, and God says, "You know what? I still love you. I don't care what you're doing." Isn't that great? Because what happens with us is somebody messes up and they're over there and we're over here and we're going, "Well, you deserve what you get." of attitude we need to have? Do we need to tell people that they deserve what they get? What about you? When you mess up and you step away from the Word of God and you step away from what God tells us, do you think that God should look down on you and say, well, you deserve what you get? God wraps you up in His arms and He says, you know what? You messed up, but I'm still here. And I'm not saying that there won't be a judgment day someday, because there will be. And if you're found in the messed up part of it, then the love of God will not take you from the pits of hell because you already had your opportunity. Because the love of God right now is taking you from the pits of hell, and He says, while you're here, while you're breathing, you have the opportunity to go from there to here because of the love of God. John has already emphasized the importance of love in 2, 7 through 11, and then he hit on it again in 3, 11 through 18. And we may be prone to say, okay, we've got this. We've got it down. We're good. Can you move on to something else? You see, but he comes to our scripture, and he hits on it a little longer and a little harder, and he wants us to make sure that we understand that love is not an optional Christian value. Do you understand that? It is not optional. Do you hear what was said in the scriptures? Whoever does not love does not know God. That's a little hard pill to swallow, isn't it? You see, but if we stand over here and we look over there and we say, well, you deserve what you get, and we let them lay over there in their sin and all of that, their state of mind and everything that's going on, and we just stand over here, then we are not showing the characteristics of who God is. And we are not showing the love of God to these people who, guess what? God sent His Son for. Every person on this earth, past, present, and future, God sent His Son for all of them. If we are not manifesting ourselves to the point that we are putting on the love of God, then we don't know God the way we should. Somebody's over here, instead of standing here saying they deserve what they get, we need to come over here and we need to pick them up and we need to tell them that God loves them. And we need to show them the love of God. We need to show them that Christ died on the cross for what? To pick them up out of the miry pits, to take them away from their sins, to take them away from hell, right? And you yourselves, you fall into all kinds of things, right? That's why you have a church family. Call upon them when you need to. Sometimes what happens is there's people hanging out over here in the miry pits and they're so lost and confused, and the church family's over here, but these people, they act like, everything is great, right? We can't act like that. We've got to allow people to show us the love of Christ in the bottom of the barrel when we are there. John states that God is love. You see, we live in a world where everyone thinks that love is what makes us feel good. It's those flutters. I feel like a person. I feel important. We tell them we love them because it makes them feel good, but then we walk away and we're like, we really don't like that person. How can you tell them that you love them, but yet you walk away and you talk about them, or you're mean to them behind their backs or whatever? You're not really loving that person, are you? To change our attitude to love the way that Christ loved. When we look at the life of Christ, is there anybody that God didn't love or Jesus didn't love while He was here? No, you see, He even loved the ones that were going to be crucifying Him. He loved the ones that society said, don't love them. They're outcasts. He loved the ones who were extreme sinners, and he says, come to me and sin no more. Why do we decide who we get to love and don't love? Let me tell you this morning, love is not an emotion. It is an emotion. God gave it to us. It surely is an emotion to a certain point, but it is not only an emotion, it is an action. When we love someone, we do something about it, right? When you find the one that you love, you eventually marry them, right? So there's an action there. When you love your children, what do you do for them? Anything and everything you can possibly do, right? Why? Because you love them. Your church family, people around us, if we love them, we help them in any way that we can, right? We show them that we love them. You see, God showed us that he loved us when he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Verse 10, it tells us this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The fact that God sent his son to die on the cross for us was not because, oh, look at all those people that love me. It says, look at all those people that I love. I want them to suffer. I want them to live in eternity with me. I want them to be able to be forgiven of their sins. And so God said, I'm sending my son for them so that they can have eternal life, right? Why? Because God is love. There's no other way to describe it besides God is love. That being said, we really mess love up. We have strings attached to love for certain people. Well, I'll love them as long as they don't do anything to make me angry. I'll love them as long as things in our relationship are going right. I'll love them as long, or I'll love them if. We attach strings to our love, and God does not attach strings to his love today. He does not say that he will love you if. Because even while if we are going to be made into the image of Christ and we are to love as Christ loves, and I hate to tell you this morning that you are doing love wrong if you are putting strings on your love. Mm-hmm. Putting a string and you tell them, well, if you do this or if you do that or if everything is perfect, then I can love you. That's not the way love is. And then sometimes we get so angry, right, because we do something and somebody doesn't thank us, or they don't show us love in return, or they reject our love possibly, or whatever it might be. We get so angry and we get so, you know what, I'm not going to love them anymore because they rejected me, or they didn't thank me, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that in return. Well, let me ask you, when was the last time you thanked God for his love? In the days of Jesus, rejected who he was. Days, years, in the days of Moses and Noah, rejected who God was. Go back to your Old Testament and read it. That's why the flood happened, right? Because so much wickedness was going on and rejection of God was going on that he destroyed everybody that didn't want anything to do with him. And guess what? That was everybody but Noah, his wife, and his children, and his children's wife. Right? There's only a couple handful of people who were righteous before God. He would have wiped them out too, but he loved them and he says, you know what? Let's get you on the boat and let's get you safe. There was a lot of rejection, and God could have said, you know what, I'm done with these people, and he could have wiped the entire earth out, and he could have allowed Noah and all of them to be wiped out as well, but he said, you know what, I don't want the whole world to be gone. I want to start over. He was rejected back in the Old Testament. And he could have said back then, he could have said, you know what? I had a plan that I was going to send my son to you, but because you all rejected me, I'm not sending him anymore. Deal with whatever it is on your own. He did. Tons of rejection from Genesis to Revelation. Tons of rejection. But yet the love of God is so strong that he says, I'm still going to send my son despite the fact that there's going to be a ton of rejection. Despite the fact that my children are not going to thank me for the things that I do. Yet you and I, when we show love, we expect something in return. Not what God did. You see, he sent his son, and the only thing that he expects from us in return is that we accept his son as our Savior. Amen. And then follow his commandments. He expects from us. He doesn't expect you to lavish him with gifts. I mean, obviously, how would you get them there, right? A little hard to send a gift in the mail of heaven. But all he wants back from you is your praise and worship and your love. Your obedience. Your trust. Your faith. Are those things so hard to give? Think about all the gifts that God gives to you on a daily basis. We heard many of them from Mary and Gail and Chubb and all of them. Look at April. God gives us so many gifts on a daily basis that we miss the love gifts that God gives. But unfortunately, there are times that we really miss the biggest love gift, and that was his son. We take it for granted. We don't show love in the capacity that we should show love. We're not showing others the characteristics of God because we are putting strings on our love for other people. We get angry when we show love and they don't reciprocate or they don't give us what we want in return. You see, we don't have a requirement for the Son of God to love us, and therefore we should not have a requirement in our love either. The last time, and this is obviously just between you and God, but when was the last time that you truly thanked God for his gift of love? I'm just talking about, you know, thanks God. Truly get on your knees before God and thank him for sending his son for you. The last time you thanked him, truly thanked him for what he does for you on a daily basis. For the love that he bestows on you, even when you don't deserve it. Genesis to Revelation. The only way that this can be explained, all of the stuff that goes on in here, the only way that we can explain heaven is because God is love. There's no other way to explain it. How do you tell someone, well, why would God do that? Why would God send his son? Why would God have him suffer and die on the cross? All you can say is because of love. Mm-hmm. Because God is. That's what John tells us. That God is love. Make sure you're really paying attention to what John is saying here, because if you're not showing the kind of love that God is, then we really don't know who God is. Tragedy. Because you and I, we're here because we want to know who God is, right? So we have to put on the characteristics of God. I don't know your relationships. I don't know how you love people. I don't know any of that. I don't even know how you love God. Do you put strings on it with God too? God, well, if you do that, then I'll love you. if you do that, I'll read your scriptures. If you do this, then I'll do that. I mean, do we put an if on our love for God too? We can't make excuses as to why we can't love. I said back in the beginning, Valentine's Day in our house is just another day. Day of the week, every week of the month, and every month of the year, you should be showing love. And I'm not just talking about your spouse and your kids and your family. I'm talking about the neighbor down the road. I'm talking about the annoying kid next door. I'm talking about your coworker that you just really can't stand. I'm talking about the guy in the grocery store line that maybe is in front of you and is annoying you, or the person behind you. I'm talking about whatever and wherever you are, showing the love of Jesus Christ. Because God is love. And if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be children of God, then we need to act like we are, right? Just a moment. We're going to sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And I want you to really truly think about what the cross stands for. It's not just another symbol. It stands for redemption, forgiveness, and most importantly, it stands for love. Love for all people. You and I, we are in an agape love relationship with God. That is a perfect and holy type of love. That's the love that we should be in. You see, I believe wholeheartedly that God is in the demolition business. Did you ever watch those TV shows where people go into the houses and they tear down the houses? And so the people, when they're doing the demolition, they come in and they've got the sledgehammers and they're slamming the walls, right? They're knocking them down. They're taking them out. You see, when we look at the cross of Jesus and we really are in a true love relationship with Christ, then I believe that God comes in with his sledgehammer and he knocks down the walls to tell you that you can't love, that you aren't worthy. And he tells you that he created you and that he loves you, and there is nothing on this earth that can stop his love for you. Believe that this morning? You are loved by the Creator unconditionally. Next slide. You see, that's love. That's the love that God gave to you. This is agape love right there. Do you represent this type of love? Because God gave his son to you because he is love. Not because you loved him. It had nothing to do with you loving him. He gave his son because he loved you. You in return represent that type of love. We sing our next song. Keep that image in your head. Because that's where love is. Not on the cross anymore. I mean, he's off of the cross, right? But that's where it began. Way back in the beginning, God had this plan to send his son for you. Past people, the present, and the future people. Because God is love. Let's show that to other people. Let's show who God is. And let's tell them who Jesus Christ is and what he stands for. Will you stand as we sing our last hymn?